Jeremiah 29, and beginning in verse number 11. I'd like to do a topical study tonight. Reasons why God says no when we pray. Reasons why God says no. And so I'd like to look at this text. If we could, let's stand to our feet. If you're physically able, Jeremiah chapter 29, we'll read verses 11 through 14. And as is our custom, I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses? Do I have it? Am I on? It's muted. Okay. Amen. Well, we don't want that. Amen. Well, at least they don't back there. All right. Let's see here. Is the mute off now? Okay. Thumbs up. Praise the Lord. All right. Jeremiah chapter number 29, beginning in verse number 11 through verse number 14. Boy, I love this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Jump over just a few pages, Jeremiah chapter 33, and let's read verse 3 together. Jeremiah chapter number 33, let's read verse 3. Ready? Begin. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Reasons why God says no when we pray. Father, bless us now. Bless the reading of your word. Bless, Lord, tonight. We thank you for this crowd that's gathered and assembled. We pray that you'd help us to consider this thought of things we do that hinder you being able to answer our prayers. We love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our text, in Jeremiah 29, in Jeremiah 33, God tells us that he desires to hear our prayers. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, just like you that are parents desire to hear the voice of your children or to even just be in their presence, God desires to hear your voice in prayer. He desires to meet your needs. Amen? He is so much better of a father, a mother, than any of us could ever be. Amen? And so God desires to meet our needs. He wants to hear us. And why is it that so many times when we pray, we feel like there's no answer? There's no. And listen, I believe all prayers are answered by God. I believe God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. I believe that. But there are a lot of times, could we say it this way, that God is forced to say no when he wants to say yes. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I want to look at seven things tonight. Reasons why God says no when we pray. Let's go to some scriptures tonight, a little Bible study here. First scripture to go to, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter number 18. And I apologize for those of you that keep an outline. I don't have an alliterated outline tonight. I usually do. But this one I think will do. The first point, the first reason why God says no when we pray is when we are priding ourselves in self-righteousness. When we're praying self-righteous prayers. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse number 11. And you know this story. I know you do. It says, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I like that. With himself. He's so enamored with the sound of his own voice in prayer. It says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And on and on and on and on and on. You get the story. Listen, God's not going to hear that prayer. God is not going to answer that. I don't know what he prayed after that, but everything he gave to God so far, scripturally, we could say was garbage. He's just full of pride. And you listen to me, when you're full of pride, you can mark it down. Your prayers aren't making it past the ceiling. When you think you're so special, beyond everybody else, listen, when I think of Brother Horst, when I think of drunkards and I think of drug addicts, I think of, but by the grace of God, there go I. That could be me, who might have pride in my heart, thinking I'm so much better. Listen, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and that's it. Kept by the power of God, and that's it. Listen, if you're full of pride, if you're self-righteous, thinking, well, I'd never do that, and I'm not like that, and I'm not like that, your prayers, brass. Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. You say, what's the reason why God says no? Priding self in personal righteousness or self-righteous prayers. Go over to Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter 28, the second reason why God says no when we pray. Proverbs chapter number 28. And look at verse number 9. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be what? Abomination. Listen, that's a strong word, ladies and gentlemen. That's the same word that God uses for homosexuality. Abomination. Same word God uses for lying lips. Abomination. God says here that he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You say, what's the second reason why God says no, Pastor? Disobeying God's law. You disobey God's law, and I'd say this, saved or lost, your prayer is abomination to God. It's abomination to God when the preacher or your Sunday school teacher, young people, I think of Pastor John that faithfully gets up every Sunday of the world. You say, how do you know? Because I used to do it too. And I'd have people, Pastor John, they might as well have been sitting there like this. Because they weren't listening. They were turning away their ear from here, and they did their own thing. And they think they're going to get prayers answered from God? No, sir. No, ma'am. You turn away. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And when we turn our ear away from hearing God's law, the Bible says our prayer is abomination. And God has to say no. It's difficult. Because our prayer may be sincere and heartfelt. Please help this person in the hospital. Please save my friend with cancer. You listen to me. You're turning away your ear from the law. Your prayer is abomination. It's not going to make it. You say, Pastor, that's harsh. Listen, that's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God says. Number three, go over to Psalms. Two passages here. Psalms chapter 66, as soon as you find your place there. We'll go over to Isaiah chapter 59 as well. Psalm chapter 66. You say, what is this, Pastor? It's just what you call a topical Bible study. One of the best ways to learn doctrine in the Bible is doing topical Bible studies. Go right down. What's the Scripture say about it? Amen? Psalm chapter 66, look at verse number 18. Very familiar verse to many of us. Look what it says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. So obviously the reason why God heard him is because he didn't regard iniquity in his heart. I go over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. The third reason why God says no when we pray is regarding iniquity in our heart. We could call it harboring unconfessed sin. Harboring unconfessed sin. Isaiah chapter 59, look at verse 1. Blessed verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, young or old. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, you are stopping the ears of God from hearing your prayers. We could say that your sins are earplugs to God. Okay? Well, listen, you say, how do you know that, Pastor? You know, we all struggle with unconfessed sin at some point in our lives. Amen? I just realized a long time ago that confession was available. See, I grew up in the Church of Rome. Confession meant you had to go in that door and there was somebody with a funny hat on the other side that could forgive and told you what to do, and you do 5 novenas and 8 Hail Marys and you'll be forgiven of that. Then I read 1 John 1:9 after I got saved. And I realized I didn't have to go. I used to kid with Pastor Tharp. We used to have a sound booth and it had a little window cut right in. And I said to him one day, I said, is that the confessional? No. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is it that God won't hear our prayers? Because we don't confess sin. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Listen to me. We don't like calling it sin. We don't like calling it sin. We rename it, just like the world does. Listen, sin is sin. God, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for an evil thought. Forgive me for not doing this. Forgive me. You know what you're doing? You're taking God's fingers out of his ears so he can hear your prayers. But if you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you're messing around in areas that only you and God know about, your prayers, not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a day where we need to get a hold of the throne of God. We can't have these things in our lives that are hindering our prayers. There's too much to do. We need God's power. How can we have it if we have these things in our life? The answer is we can't. We can't. Fourth thing, go to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi. And this goes right along with point number 3. Malachi, right before Matthew. We used to say Malachi, the Italian prophet. Amen. Malachi chapter 1. Yeah, I heard some Italians back there. Amen. Malachi chapter 1. Look at verse 7. The fourth reason why God says no when we pray is offering unworthy service to God. Offering unworthy service. Look what it says in verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. This idea of unworthy service, it goes right along with unconfessed sin. See, when you won't confess sin, the service and the quote-unquote good works you're doing for God, they're polluted. They're dirty. Imagine if you broke into a loaf of bread and you smell that bread cooking all day and, oh, it smells. I don't know about you, I'm a bread person. Bless God, I could never go on Atkins with that, no carbs. I love bread, amen. I really do. Just imagine you open up that loaf of bread and you cut that first slice, Brother Heath, and you opened it up and on the inside you saw 100 maggots. I don't know about you, even though I love bread, I think I would throw it away. That is no different from us offering polluted service to God. When we don't come before God, and I don't know if you do it early or midday, I'd try to do it several times a day. Say, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And you know what he does? He forgives me. He forgives me. You see, Christians aren't perfect. We're sinners. We will sin as long as we have this flesh hanging off us. But you know, we can offer worthy service to God by staying in constant fellowship with Him. Not letting sin break our fellowship. Amen? When you sin, listen, confess it. Just get it right. You say, why? Because it piles up and it spoils the rest of the loaf. Amen? It does. Offering unworthy service to God. Number five, go to James chapter 4. Probably most of us know this as far as one of the reasons why God says no in James chapter 4. James chapter number 4 in verse number 3. Very, very clear here why God does not answer our prayers. In verse 3 of James chapter 4, it says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Asking amiss is the fifth reason why we do not have our prayers answered. When we want to get a prayer answered that we're simply going to consume it upon our own lusts. You know, this absolutely sickens me. But I know it's true. There are Christians that play the lottery. Listen, gambling is just flat out wrong. One of these days I'm going to give gambling an entire black eye for 45 minutes. Gambling is wrong. Unjust gain is wrong according to the Bible. We have Christians every day saying, "Lord, just please let me win the lottery. Please let you listen. You think God's going to answer that prayer? Fat chance. You are asking amiss that you could consume it upon your own lust. Lord, if you just make me wealthy, I'd serve you. I doubt it. If you're not serving God now and being a good steward of what you had now, how can He trust you with more?" You see, this idea of asking amiss. God says it really clear. You're asking amiss when you just want to consume it upon your own lusts. Asking amiss. Number six. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I appreciate this point. I think of something Brother Horsch almost always says regarding this point. And I'll allude to it in just a little bit. Look at verse 5. What a great verse. What a great verse. I've claimed this verse so many times. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You say, what's the sixth reason, Pastor, that God says no when we waver at His promises? Brother Horsch always says, pray in faith, believing. Believing that God desires to answer that prayer and that He is able, amen, to answer. He is able. Oh, we need to, we can't think, well, should I pray this? I don't know if God will, or I don't know if God, not. Listen, I understand there are times in life where we don't know the will of God. So you know what I just do? I just pray and ask God to do the impossible because I know He can. If He chooses to, great. If He chooses not to, that's up to Him. But if I don't pray, I don't even give God a chance. We've got to pray in faith. Believing. Listen, when you pray for that lost loved one, do you really believe God can save him? Listen, if you don't, read the story of Acts chapter 9. Amen? When the worst of the worst got saved. Saul, the Christian killer. God can save your loved one. If you'll ask in faith, believing, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Should I go this way? No. Should I go that way? You've been out to dinner. Before my wife and I go out to dinner, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. We're still in the driveway 35 minutes later. Why? Because we're unstable in all our ways. We're double-minded. Amen. You've got to make a decision. Amen. Listen, I made a decision long ago that God was able to hear and answer prayer. Daily, we can come to Him with these needs, believing that He can. Let me give you the seventh thing. I'll give you a little bit of a review here. First, priding self in personal righteousness. Second, disobeying God's law. Third, regarding iniquity in your heart. Fourth, offering unworthy service to God. Five, asking amiss. Six, wavering at the promises of God. And go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Won't apply to you young people yet, but you'll get there. 7th, having ought in your marriage relationship. Having ought in your marriage relationship. Having a wedge, something in between you, wife and husband. Look at verse number 7. Great verse. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Sir, you've got some fight that you and your wife had, and you've not gone to her and apologized. Prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing back at you. Ma'am, there's something that you cannot forgive your husband for, but Christ forgave you of all your sins, and all God's people said, your prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down. You say, I don't like that. You know, there's some things in the Word of God I don't like either, but they're still true. They're still true. And if you've got ought in a marriage relationship, some wedge that the devil has driven in, your prayers are hindered. Your prayers are hindered. Why, God tells us here, husbands, we're to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. We're to get to know our wives. Intimately get to know them. What helps them, what hinders them. That we could have an effective prayer life as a husband and wife. So many husbands and wives are just doing their own thing and their prayers are just bouncing back down because there's something that they can't get over one with another. Oh, it ought not to be so, ladies and gentlemen. I made up my mind long ago. Best two words I ever learned in my marriage are, I'm sorry. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. She'd probably talk to you for hours about the time I had, the times I had to say, I'm sorry. And you know why I did, Brother Jenkins? Because of this verse. Listen, not because I don't love my wife. I do love my wife. I don't want my prayers to be hindered. I don't want my wife who has this affliction with gallbladder. My prayers to just hit the ceiling and come back down. I want them to get all the way to the throne of God. And listen, you ought to want that for your preacher, but you ought to want it for yourself too. You ought to want it for yourself. See, God, I believe these are reasons why God says no when He wants to say yes. I heard John R. Rice say this. I'll close with this. An illustration he gave, whether it's true or not, I don't know. He said, but I believe when folks get to heaven, after looking around for a little bit, that God had assigned an angel. And again, please don't come to me and say that's doctrinally incorrect, Pastor. It's a story Dr. Rice told, okay? And he said an angel would come and take you by the hand and take you to a gigantic warehouse where there was all these presents wrapped with bows with your name on it. And the person said to the angel, what's that? What's this gigantic warehouse with literally tens of thousands of presents? They said, those are prayers that God wanted to answer. Those were gifts God wanted to give you, because every good gift and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning, James 1:17 tells us. He said, those are gifts God wanted to give you, but He couldn't. Because of things like this in our lives. Oh, God, help us. Listen, God, help us. Again, you think your preacher's perfect? You're fooling yourself. I deal with sin just like you do. You said, you think everybody gets their prayers heard? Listen, everybody that comes to God with sincere and pure heart and a desire to get these things out of their lives and get these things taken care of, I believe God bends His ear. God, help us to get things like this taken care of in our lives, that God could hear our prayers and move mightily among us. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, thank you for that verse in Psalm 139 that says, "Search me, O God, and Lord, and know my heart, and Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me." And then, Lord, help us, Lord, as Proverbs 28:13 says, to "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." Oh God, we want your ear tonight. Help us. Help us to not be asking amiss and not wavering and not have aught in our marriage relationship and not to be disobeying your law and not to regard iniquity, have unconfessed sin, and not offer unworthy service, and Lord, not to pray prideful prayers. Oh God, help us now. Our heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have page number 57. Cleanse me. Maybe one of these points spoke to your heart tonight. I don't know which one it is, but you'd lift your hand and say, "God, the Lord spoke to my heart, Pastor. Pray for me. Lord spoke to my heart." God bless you and you and you and you and you and you and you. God spoke to my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? God spoke to my heart tonight. I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God is only one step away. He's waiting for you with open arms. He said, "Whoso confesseth shall find mercy." He said, if we confess our sins. But we know what? We've got to recognize this as sin. Pride is sin. Pride is sin. Being disobedient ever so slightly to God's law is sin. Unconfessed sin is obviously sin. Offering polluted service to God is sin. Wanting to consume prayers upon your own lust is sin. Wavering at the promises of God is not trusting God, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And oh, having that ought in your marriage relationship, you may have convinced yourself it's not sin, but it is. Oh, that we would kiss our spouse on the cheek and cry tears of sorrow that we could have a relationship with God. Let's stand to our feet. Page number 57, you raised your hand, said God spoke to you in the message. If you're able, make your way down to the altar. Spend some time with God as we sing page 57. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thought, I pray. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Just the instruments on the second verse. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You raise your hand. Said, the Lord spoke to my heart. Maybe you're not going to come to the altar tonight. I wish you would, but it's up to you. But listen, do not let the conviction of the Spirit of God go too long before you deal with that thing that the Lord put His finger on in your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's disobedience. I didn't talk much to the young people tonight. Maybe you've just got a bad spirit toward your parents and you think God's going to hear your prayers. I don't know what it is tonight. But listen, don't pillow your head tonight before you deal with it. You may not have come to the altar, but listen, get along with God at some point tonight. Get that taken care of. Get it taken care of. Let's sing verse number 3 as the last. Verse number 3, page 57. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill
heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion and my pride. I now surrender, Lord, in thee abide.
All God's people said, hope the Lord will use this in our lives to wake us up a little bit, amen? Remind us of things, and may God do great things through the prayers of His people here and all over the world. Amen? Amen. We'll be praying, please, if you would, pray for us as we travel. I'm trying to get out early, but Aaron Monster, he doesn't like to get up, amen? I'm not even going to go there, but we're going to wake him up just to put him in the car seat and put him back to sleep, Pastor John. That's how it works, amen? But you please be praying. We'll be praying for you. And the services, again, Brother Jones already kind of clued me in about what he's going to be preaching on Sunday. I'm excited about it. We'll be praying, amen. And God bless you tonight. Hope this was a help to you, amen. Every preacher worth his salt wants to help, amen. Sometimes you got to wound a little to help, amen. You got to take away that infection and then help, and I trust this has been that tonight, amen. Brother Horst, sir, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight?